and pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I'm onward bound, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand.
It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
In our study of the book of Ephesians chapter 6, we've been talking about husbands, wives, and children. In other words, the home. And last time we left off talking about the children. Now, the Bible says there, bring them up, train them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. In other words, that we're to train our children in the proper way, in the proper manner. And I'm going to go back and read that verse, chapter 6 and verse 4 of Ephesians. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Well, once again, I mentioned the fact that to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord means to literally to put them in mind, to give them a warning and instruction. The word nurture in the, it says bring them up in the nurture. The word means literally training up of a child. In other words, education, instruction, and discipline. And here in our verse that we're reading, it means parents are to train up their children in such a manner as the Lord approves. And that is, they are to educate them in virtue and the things of God. This is where parents have messed up in the past. They let the government schools take over and take God out of the schools, take prayer out of the schools, and therefore there is nothing going on there that is godly. Now, I'm not saying that there's not some people going to those schools who are godly. I'm not saying there's some people who are not godly there. I believe there are some godly people there in public education. I once had an opportunity to work in Christian schools, help starting Christian schools, and one young lady who had a teacher's credentials of being a public educator, when she got educated herself as to what the public education was about, the government education, and how that Christian education was far greater, far better than government education, she tore up her teaching certificate, and she started teaching in a Christian school. She started using what God had given her in knowledge, and she started helping youngsters grow in the grace and knowledge, not only of reading, writing, and arithmetic, but in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. This is what the Bible's teaching here. Bring them up in the nurture and admonition. And it literally means to put them in mind. It's a warning and instruction. Well, let me go over this one more time with you, that the idea here is that parents are to let children know about the Lord. Parents are to let children know of the Lord's existence, the perfections, the law, and claims on their lives and hearts that he has. Now, this command, the admonition, is positive here that we read of. Bring them up in the nurture and admonition. And it's in accordance with all the conditions of the Bible on the subject. And no one can doubt that the Bible imposes on parents the duty of making an effort to train up their children in the ways of the Lord, and of making it the overall purpose of this life to prepare them for heaven. That is the greatest thing that a parent can train their child, is to how to go to heaven by trusting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You see, some have objected to admonishing children to reverence the Lord and to learn about Him. In the government schools, you take out the Ten Commandments. Now, once again, let me remind you, the Ten Commandments was given to mankind to bring him to a saving knowledge. In other words, to let a person know that they're a sinner. They cannot keep the Ten Commandments and go to heaven, because no one has ever done that, and no one has ever kept the Ten Commandments but Jesus Christ. No one can keep the Ten Commandments. It's given to us as a guide, as a schoolmaster, to train us, to let us know that we're sinful and we need a Savior. Well, some go on to say that children should be left to their own thoughts when it comes to the things of God, and that they should be able to form their own opinion when they are able to judge for themselves. We see infidels and ungodly men always oppose the duty of a parent when it comes to training a child in the right way of the Lord. Some go so far as to say to teach the Bible to children is to make them narrow-minded, destroying their independence of mind, and that it prevents them from judging objectively on life itself. That's a lie from the pit of hell. When we train a child in the way he should go, and that way is through the Lord Jesus Christ, to do right, to do what God has placed in his book, the first right thing to do is get saved, and then we follow his leading, the virtue of training children to have respect. And I believe that once we teach them to have respect for us as a parent, then that leads them to know that they need to have respect for God. Everything we do positively for a child will positively help that child positively one day to trust Jesus Christ as Savior. That doesn't always happen. Now, I mentioned before, you can't force anyone to get saved. You can't get saved for anyone else, and you can't force them to get saved. But by your training that child, your child, in the way he or she should go, and that is in the way of the Lord. Now, we read the verse, how that you train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. That means he will not forget the training that he or she receives from you or any parent that trains that child in the way of the Lord. They won't forget it. It does not guarantee they will get saved, but it guarantees that they won't forget how you've taught them. And by the way, you as a parent, if you're not saved, there is no way that you're going to train your child in the right way. So if it's not right, it's got to be wrong. You will be training your child in the wrong way, and that child is going to know wrong. And there's a great possibility that child will grow up and go to a devil's hell because they have not been taught right. They have not been told about Jesus Christ, how to respect Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, how to receive him. So you as a parent, you have a great responsibility of training your child. And the first thing you need to do is get saved. Train that child to trust Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Help that child to know the right way. Well, I mentioned this again, that there are some infidels who teach that that in order for a child to have a full knowledge of the world, they need to be exposed to the world, not to the things of God, but to the things of the world. Teach them the wrong things, and then they'll know the right things. No, you teach them the right way. You teach them the right things of life, and they'll spot the wrong things and stay away from them if you've taught them to do so. Now, in reply to those who are against teaching children the ways of the Lord and in teaching the Bible, I answer like this. To raise a child without any instruction in knowing about Christ could be compared to a garden that is never attended to, one that is neglected. A garden left to itself will soon be overrun with weeds and bugs, and without proper watering, a garden will soon wither and die. A child left to him or herself not receiving watering from God's word will soon be overtaken with the weeds of this world. Now, people instruct their children in a great many things of this world. They teach them how to behave around people, how to make money, how to avoid some humanistic pitfalls of life. Well, why not teach them about the road that leads to hell? Why not teach them that Christ loves them and gave his life for them, that they would not have to go to hell, but they could go to heaven one day by trusting him as Lord and Savior? Why not teach a child not only how to make a living in this life, but also how that it costs nothing to have eternal life? Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord." Unregenerate men do instill their own ideas concerning humanistic views about the existence or non-existence of God when teaching children. This is what we have many times in government schools. We first of all heard that evolution was just a theory, but now it's being taught in school as fact in many places. Well, God created the heaven and the earth in 6 days, and then he rested, the Bible says. God is the creator, not some slime that climbed up out of a creek somewhere and laid on a rock and all of a sudden grew legs and arms. But God said, let us make man in our image. And in the image of God made he man, the Bible says. No, we need to quit teaching our children fairy tales and teach them the things of God. You see, an ungodly person is usually enthusiastic, very anxious to explain his views to his children and to others. Men teach by example, by not giving thought as to what they sometimes say, by the neglect of teaching what they say is unimportant or of no value. A man who does not pray is teaching his children not to pray. The father or mother who neglects the public worship of God is teaching their children to neglect it. And he who does not read the Bible is teaching his children not to read it. Well, the result of what a person does not only affects that person, but also affects those around. And this world includes children. It is possible for parents not to instill personal, their own, in other words, religious views on their children. And all that the Bible requires is that parents instruct their children in all that is right. And once again, all that is right is found in the Word of God. And I believe the Word of God is the King James Bible. And we are to instill the truths of the Bible. And those truths is not to make the mind narrow and prejudiced and unable to recognize the truth. Truths found in the Word of God makes the mind forthright, conscientious, open to conviction, ready to follow the truth. Well, Jesus said in John 8:32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Jesus also said this, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. John 14:6. Some people say, well, that's being narrow-minded. No, that's the narrow road that leads to heaven. Jesus said he is the way. He's the only way that a person will ever get to heaven. You can't go by joining a church. You can't go by paying money into a church. You can't go by trying to keep the Ten Commandments. You can't go by trying to be good, because the Bible says there is none good, no, not one. Jesus said that he is the only way that a person is going to go to heaven. Well, that is the narrow way. In a way, the people who say that's being narrow-minded, they're partially right, because there is only one narrow way to get there, and that is through Jesus Christ. Each person must trust Jesus Christ in order to go to heaven. See, superstition, bigotry, unfaithfulness, and all error and deceit make the mind narrow and prejudiced. That's what does it. You don't find those things in the Word of God. You don't find those things being taught by Jesus Christ. Now, you as a Christian, you owe it to your Heavenly Father. You were bought with a price. You owe it to the Lord who paid with His blood for you. You owe it to Him to be faithful to Him. You owe it to Him to live for Him, to tell others about Jesus Christ and how they can go to heaven just like you're going to go one day. May you work for the Lord.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.